welcome to Intentional Living, continuing our parent talk, really, from our Intentional Living Center. From yesterday, we just had, a powerful half hour of the show, and continuing to pray for those who called, and we love you guys. We want the best for you. God loves you, and we're here in the next 28 minutes to talk to some friends who have some issues and questions about parenting. We'll get to those in a moment. If you are brand new, my name is Dr. Randy Carlson. Jennifer, Stephen, the rest of the team are here in the center. We have one goal, and that's to help you experience, in this case, your parenting, your relationships as a parent with your kids and grandkids as God intended. And that's why we're here. So we hope you'll stay tuned and join in, maybe listening and praying for some of the folks who are calling with challenges today. If you have a question for me, you can leave it on our storyline right now at 888-888-1717. Lisa, you are first in Kansas. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to meet you, Dr. Randy. I am calling because I have been having a separation with my daughter that I'm not happy about. I got divorced about 6 years ago, and ever since she turned 18, she's been living with her dad. And she's put up a lot of boundaries and a lot of walls with me, and gives me very little time. And I'm just trying to find out what's the best approach to try to get her to, you know, spend more time with me and enjoy the time, and you know, just open up to me a little bit more as a child.
If she were here on the phone with us, what do you think she would say? Why she's doing this?
You know, I think it's multifold. She has been given lots of leniency and independence at her father's house, and when she turned 18, that's what she wanted. And I think that she sees me as very discipline oriented, as far as, you know, regarding not having boyfriends in the bedroom, not having him sleep overnight, etc. And I just feel like it's angst with her feeling like I'm not giving her the independence that her dad is giving her. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, she feels like that has hurt her. And I have tried to raise her in the Christian faith, and that was another thing, I think, with both of my kids. They just didn't feel like I was listening to them at age 14, 15, when they were saying they wanted to quit going to church, and I wanted to raise them in the faith and let them decide after they were adults, you know, which way they go. And so that's part of it, too.
Can you talk to her? I mean, do you have a relationship with her?
I do, and I have tried with, you know, we've gone to some counseling together, but she is very boundary oriented, and, you know, just things like she won't hardly ride in the car with me anymore if we're going out to do something, you know, and just, it's very disheartening, and I just have tried everything to let her talk to me about things, and it seems like when we try to talk specifics, there's not a lot of specifics. It's just a generality of, you know, her not enjoying the time that she spends with
me. Well, Lisa, my guess is there's more going on in her life and deeper issues, and you're kind of in that circle, 6 years divorced. It likely goes back to that. There'd be some issues with divorce and some things maybe going on in her life and so on. And you can't force her to communicate, and you can't over-communicate to try to get her to do so. Again, and this was, I think, typical of the calls we get when a young adult cuts off relationship with adult. You can over-pursue. What you can do, and that doesn't work, what you can do is leave the door open. If that were my 18-year-old daughter, and I had enough of a relationship to be able to sit down at lunch with her or something, I would be very careful what I'd say, but I would say this. I would say something like, honey, I love you, and I know the last 6 years of the divorce has been disruptive, or whatever you're aware of, and I get it, and I take responsibility for my part of whatever that may or may not be. But you're 18 years old now, And I want to be able to respect you and encourage you as you move into the next stage in life. I pray for you every day. But I would just simply ask that you would respect me as well. I don't have too many rules. I just have a few, but one of them is not having your boyfriend over and sleeping in the bedroom together. That's just one of the rules I have. You may think it's old-fashioned. Maybe dad does it. That's him. That decision you guys make, I can't be responsible for that. But I would hope that we could have enough respect that these few little things that I do, that the way I operate, that I would respect you and I want to you to respect me. I would tell parents, please, to the extent possible, the Bible says, live at peace with everyone. That doesn't mean you accept their behavior. It doesn't mean that you approve of it. In fact, it would be wrong of you to do that. And the Bible says, when you violate your own conscience, that's sin coming down on your own head. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we can be harsh or punitive. And I don't hear that in your voice, Lisa, but to be able to communicate with your daughter that, hey, I love you. Can we learn to respect? Can we find out where the boundaries are? Because you said she's a big boundary person and you respect mine and I'll respect yours, but you're still my daughter and I love you. And I think that's a really important thing to be able to communicate to her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have tried to, I think, in certain ways, but it's probably good just to bring it back around to that every once in a while. And, you know, if there's difficulties, just kind of reinforcing that.
Yeah. And by the way, I would pick battles carefully. You know, there's a lot of battles to pick when kids kind of go in different directions, and we think they ought to, especially when they're 18. It's easier when they're 6 or 7, right? But when they're 18, she's an adult. She's going to make decisions, live with the consequences, and we all, as we all do, and in terms of really being patient and loving her. All right, lots of prayer. Pray for Lisa and her daughter and her family. Let's go to Kyle in Michigan. Kyle, welcome to the show today. What's your question?
I got some things going on. I have an alcoholism problem. I have 3 children and beautiful wife. We're doing great as of the moment, but we've had some past issues, and I feel like it could happen again. And we pray, we go to church and everything else, and it just seems like I can't get over this hump of this.
Yeah, the alcoholism.
Yeah.
You're an alcoholic.
And I've been to the doctor. Yep, I've been to doctors. I've been, and I admit, you know, I am an alcoholic. I am.
Have you been in AA, or have you been in a program?
I've been to AA through a program. I've been to detox 3 times. I've been to a program for 30 days, and what my body does, it keeps going back to it. The doctors can't figure out what's going on. But this has been going on for a few years now.
Yeah, well, that's alcoholism. And whenever we get addicted to a substance, it's a real challenge. And I know many people that struggle with this. It's an enormous issue. And Kyle, you know what you have to do, I think, is you need to get plugged into a program like Alcoholic Anonymous or another program. And not say, I've tried it or I've been there, but just, you got to make an intentional decision. We talk about the power of one thing. And I was thinking about this week about scripture. If you look at the characters in the Bible, all of these men and women got to a place where their lives got really focused on one thing. For the Apostle Paul, he said, I forget what's behind, I press toward the goal. For Esther in the Old Testament, it was, hey, I was born for a time like this, the scripture says, and she became focused on what she was called to do. When you hear the Saul becoming Paul, you know, he went from an oh no moment to an aha moment, and it changed his life, and he got focused on pursuing what was most important in his life. And my encouragement to you, Kyle, and you've probably heard this from others, is to say, hey, this has got to be, I've got to whip this into shape. And that means I've got to understand that I'm powerless to do this on my own. Like the first step in the Alcohol Anonymous program, right? I'm powerless without the power of God in my life. And so seeking counseling, going to these programs, all of that can be helpful. And those are positive things. But getting plugged into one program and getting that kind of help. And of course, there's other kinds of medical help that can be a part of that as well. And so that really would be, my encouragement. And again, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask people, we got friends right now. Some of you have been through this. You've been an alcoholic. You've dealt with it. You're in recovery. God has granted you that kind of blessing in your life. Pray for Kyle that he'll find that kind of encouragement today.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Come on, men and women, if you've been married, do you ever get disappointed in your spouse? And we know, right back to the first step here, expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Right? Let's go right on through this cycle. Maybe we need to focus on the truth that our spouse wasn't put on this planet to make us happy. Didn't know that, huh? That didn't come up in premarital counseling, right? Maybe the truth is that our spouse is going through some junk in their lives that we don't know. We only see it from our own perspective. Maybe the truth in our relationships here at work, sometimes the coworkers that we're working with are going through some things that we're not aware of. See? We only see life through our own lens.
That's an excerpt on discouragement, a lesson for this month from our Intentional Living Center. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Those of you who stand with us to allow us to do this every day, we can't do it without your help. And frankly, we could use a little boost in support to help us. We're behind where we need to be at this juncture in the year. And I've determined, and as a team here and leadership, we don't borrow money to operate. So I just lay it out that we have a budget. And unlike the government, we're not going to borrow. So thank you for your prayers and support. We appreciate it. You can join us monthly. $1 a day in support is going to go a long ways to help us reach people like we're talking to today, people who need Christ and need encouragement. We need each other, and that's why we're here. 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours or online anytime at theintentionallife.com. And I have to tell you, my heart is aching today as I'm talking to you all because I know so many of you are struggling. And I was thinking, you know, we're going to do a parent talk. We're going to get potty training calls. Hello. Do you know many years ago when we started this ministry, it was called Parent Talk way back. And that was like our number one call with people, parents struggling with potty training. And I know that can be a really frustrating time in the history of parenting. But what we're hearing today is a reminder that the decisions we make every day make a difference. God will be with you. He'll help you. Don't give up. There's encouragement. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But let me just say this. For everybody listening today, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ and you're trying to do all this stuff on your own, or you think something I'm going to offer is going to fix it, your first step is to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to reside in your life by giving your life to Him and just saying, Lord Jesus, I'm at the end of this. I can't do this myself any longer. Come into my life. That doesn't mean you're going to wake up tomorrow and all your problems are gone. But you now have the power of the Holy Spirit, and get into God's Word, get into a Bible-believing church, get into a fellowship of women with women, men with men in your church, and get the kind of support. There's help. If you're feeling alone, there's help. And that's our encouragement. That's why we say this and do this every day. I know all day long we play music, and that's to offer hope and encourage you. But we stop down here for 30 minutes on this show to simply say, hey, this is real life. And that's what we love you. We want you to know that our Intentional Living Ministry is here to help you, encourage you in this process. Sarah, you're next in Michigan. Welcome to the show today. Appreciate it.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How can we help today?
So I have a 17-year-old who We've lost a lot of people back in 23, and she had lived solely with me until she was 11 and then started seeing her father, and her father is not really a believer, and so that was a struggle to, like, make church a priority even when she was over there. And, you know, she was doing really good in a youth group, just really praying for people. And then in 23, we lost the baby, and then we lost my dad, and like 13 people in 1 year, which was crazy.
Wow. Sorry.
And then the day after Thanksgiving, she went to her dad's because she just couldn't handle, like, the structure. I feel like it was grief that caused the, like, blow up.
Yeah.
Not just in her. Like, I know that I probably made mistakes, too, because of my hurting, you know?
Sure.
And so she lived with him for, like, 8 months, like, kind of avoided me, you know, would tell me that she loved me, but, you know, her actions weren't showing up with her words. Like, she still didn't come over, didn't see us. And, you know, she has siblings that were, that are 11 and 6 that, I mean, they were just grown up together, constant, always around each other. So, like, you know, she hurt them on top of it and couldn't understand the pain of us, like, being used to having her there every day to where there was no communication and all we could do was pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she started coming back around, like, after April of last year. She came and lived with me for like 3 months, and then started doing like 50-50, like where she was going to her dad's for a little bit, like 2 days on, 3 days off, and just doing a schedule, which is great that it turned into like a routine.
Yeah. Well, she's 17 and trying to figure out what she wants to do with her life, where she wants to live, how she wants to get along. What's your question today, Sarah?
And still, like, the struggle of whether she believes or not now. Like, there was a point in time where when we were pregnant, she had said something along the lines that if any of us had another baby, she was going to run away, and she didn't want any more siblings. And then when we lost our baby, I think that she felt like that was God.
Mm.
Because that was, like, one of the things that she came to me to tell me, that she felt so much grief because of the fact, or guilt. She felt so much guilt because of the fact she had said that. And I told her, like, you cannot feel guilty. Like, this was, like, not, nothing you said could have changed the circumstances, you know, even if you were excited about your brother. Like, nothing would have changed what happened.
Sarah, she's not only hurting. Sarah, she's not only hurting. You're hurting. You're hurting.
Yeah.
And here's a question: have you guys been able? Has your daughter been able to? Or you been able to get someone outside of this family to talk to a counselor, someone where you can kind of get stuff, someone who can help you sort these things out and get them on the table so you can start looking at them with your 17-year-old daughter and your relationship and where she is spiritually and all that. Is that something that's happened or no?
We are seeking a counselor that's a believer, which is really awesome. We started seeking family counseling right off the bat when we lost her baby because we were all hurting.
Yeah.
And
you're following through?
Yep, we're still seeking counseling.
Okay.
She actually has him as her own counselor, so that way she can talk to him by herself. And I have him as it. So he's not only our family counselor, but he's our individual counselor.
All right.
And so now,
go ahead.
The dad that you know, she's called dad ever since she was 4 years old, my husband, he has stepped away and has filed for divorce because he can't handle grief either.
Mm. Sarah, listen, that's why I said I hear about your daughter, but I hear, frankly, more about you right now. And the fact that your daughter's getting counseling to work through these issues and her pain, you guys have you got a lot of pain going on. You've talked about all the losses. You've got the loss of a child at birth, it sounds like, that occurred during pregnancy. You got a 17-year-old that's trying to figure out where her life is. You've got the issues you're facing. And my encouragement to you, Sarah, is to understand that whenever we're in a crisis, and it seems like that's what we're getting a lot of calls today, a lot of people in crisis. And I think some of it, frankly, is what's just going on in the world today. We got so much tension and stress. We've come through this COVID thing. We got economic stress. I know I feel it. And I'm not facing some of the things you all are talking about, but I feel it. Don't you all feel it, Jennifer and Stephen? We feel it. We live in a very stressful time today. And that's why we try to say here at Intentional Living, hey, let's simplify it. And let's get back to saying, I'm going to make a decision. Lord, I can't do this on my own. What one thing do I need to do right now? What do I need to do? One thing every day that can make a difference. What's got to be decluttered from my life? You guys, you probably need to be looking at your schedule and your finances. You got your husband who's saying, I can't take this anymore. And this is, you guys are ripe for a healing. That's what you all need. And my encouragement for you guys would all of you to say, we need to take a deep breath and realize that we've been in this milieu of problems. And it's time for us to really take a deep breath, slow down, get with a counselor, get with your pastor, get with somebody who can help you start to restore your thinking. Because what happens to us so often in our lives is our thinking gets confused. That's why we talk about head, heart, and hand. Tell yourself the truth. Whatever is right, pure, admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things. Philippians 4:8. Paul tells us to be angry, but don't sin. We got to get our emotions under control. The emotions are there as a fuel. Your pain that you're feeling, Sarah, and all the emotion you're feeling is good if you allow it to drive you to say, hey, I'm going to get some help. And not stay stuck and thinking I can solve this myself. Frankly, we get to a place we can't without some outside help. And then the Bible says that we be active with our hands in a positive, helpful way. In other words, how I choose to behave. That we don't allow this to become a place where Satan can come in and drag you guys down further than you already are. Now, I know I said a lot of words. But if we're going to be intentional, my encouragement to you, Sarah, would be to say to yourself, God's with me. I can't figure this out, but I'm going to get some help. And I'm going to go get a counselor, and I'm going to set it up. It's someone that I can trust, and I'm going to start laying this stuff out, and we're going to start taking steps one day at a time to honor Christ.
We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And when you do, you're making a difference. Thank you. God bless you for your support. Mac in Tennessee, welcome to the show today. Appreciate your call. What's going on?
Well, I have an issue where betrayal of my son's request of not sharing his new number, phone number, with mom.
All right, so you're divorced. Are you divorced? So I get the lay of the land. You and your wife are ex-wife, you're divorced. All right. And now your son is saying, I've got a new phone number. I don't want her to know what it is. I don't want to talk to her.
Well, not for the time being. They had a little bit of a breakdown. They had a tense exchange and the breakdown. And so he has decided to just give it some time.
So why
and
is...
he has asked me not to give it to
her. Yeah, but did he tell her this?
But...
I'm not giving you my number. Or does he expect you to say that?
No. He was on the family plan, and she threatened to cut his number off. So in that exchange, he decided, well, I'll just get my own account and get my number. And he wanted to take his number with him, but for whatever reason, her not responding because she was the primary on the account.
All right, let me ask this, Mac. I only have a minute left here or so, but do you have a decent relationship with your ex-wife? You, the two of you?
Yeah, fairly.
All right, so the issue is between your son. But right now, the issue is between your son and his mother.
Yes.
And not between you and him.
No.
All right. And then I wouldn't complicate it any further. I've always taken the triangle picture, word picture, as three people. You always keep the two that have issues connected to each other and don't get in the middle of that. That'll only complicate it. But I would say to your son, if you have a good relationship, hey, listen, I love you. I don't know what's all going on with you and your mom. I understand divorce. I understand phone plans, all that kind of thing, but a relationship with your mom is important. But this is between you and your mom, and I don't want to get in the middle of it. And if it comes up with your ex-wife, I would say, hey, listen, all I can tell you is this is between you and your son, and you need to be able to communicate with him. And I would encourage your son to do that. If he wants to grow up and be a responsible young man, he should at least sit down with his mom and explain why I don't want you to have my phone number. And that's what I would tell my son. Because if you get caught in the middle of that one, and then you're going to have more problems than you all want. But I hear what you're concerned about is your ex-wife is going to say, well, why are you holding out on me? You know, you got the number. I'd say, well, I'm honoring him, but I would make sure. And I would say to the ex-wife, I'll tell you what I will do. I will go to our son and be clear with him that he needs to talk to you. And he needs to communicate with you and connect with you. But that's something between him and you. Boy, so much pain today. Lord, I just pray in these final 30 seconds, you're a great God. You love everybody we've talked to today. You know every situation. I pray you'll just prompt, encourage, bless, and draw people to yourself and do the healing that is needed in these relationships. In Jesus' name. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. We'll be praying for you all today. Thank you for your prayers and your support. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.